Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
I need a how-to podcast on how to do a Tuesday.
On how to do a Tuesday?
Because I can rock out a Monday.
It's so true.
It's like when you wake up on Tuesday, like, I gotta do that over again.
Yeah, I feel like Tuesday is the Monday for me. Because Monday, I feel like I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pumped. I'm focused. And then Tuesday, I'm like, what am I? What day is it?
What's happening? Huh. I'm in this perpetual mode of like the in-between mode of like how you were between Christmas and New Year's. I feel like that's every Tuesday.
I'm Tuesday.
Like, what? Do I teach today?
Taco Tuesday. Because religiously, that happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I got that going for me. I know my menu. And I know that everybody in my house is going to eat without throwing a fit.
That's true. Tuesday. That's true. But every Tuesday morning, I'm like, oh, what is it?
Yeah.
It's like, girl, get it together.
I know. Tuesdays are tricky.
I know. I'm like, I need more memes about Tuesdays, please.
Yes.
Like I'm over Mondays. I got that.
Monday is been Tuesday checked. Ever.
We can rock out of Monday like nobody's business. I think that's what it is. Like, we blow our wad and like Mondays and then like Tuesday comes, we're like, I'm done.
I have accomplished all the things. On Monday, and I'm taking the rest of the week off.
See you next week.
See ya.
So, yes, we do have a little bit of a series taking place. We're really excited about our how-to series.
Yes.
So, today we've chosen to talk about how to nail that job interview.
Yes.
Because, you know, Q4 might have a little bit of turnover in your job, or maybe you're turning over a new leaf, or maybe you're just, you know, looking for something new, more your speed, or, you know, trying to better yourself. So why not learn how to nail that?
Absolutely. It's a new year. Maybe you're doing a new job. I don't know. Maybe you're just starting to look at possibilities. What else is out there?
Mm-hmm.
What else? Can I do better in my job? And sometimes that means yes, and you've got to go elsewhere to go find out. So we're here to help.
The best we can.
Yeah.
Because we have some thoughts about it.
Yeah. I do a lot of, I read a lot of resumes through PRIMP. And so what we're going to talk about today, please know that this is coming from a place of, this is what I see in my industry. So I'm specifically talking about the hair in cosmetology industry, but know that a lot of these you can translate into whatever path in industry that you are looking to to get a job. So when I give my examples, they're going to be like, they're going to be some hair things. They're going to be some makeup things.
But don't you agree, like, knowing how to do an interview, no matter what the job is, even if you're applying to Outback Steakhouse or to, you know, a Fortune 500 company, I think you should apply some of the same kind of tactics and, you know, approaches. Maybe not Outback Steakhouse, but that was, I do love Outback. But it can apply because you want to put your best foot forward at all times. And, you know, and Shannon has some insights on it. Definitely the style tips, which I think can almost make or break an interview. What do you think?
They can. In fact, I do talks about this with high school students on how to dress for job interviews once they leave high school. And I also do this talk with student athletes that graduate from college and go out into the real world, which, you know, they have been given a plethora of sweatpants and sweatshirts and all of these things. And when you're in college, you've got going out clothes and you've got your going to class clothes, which neither translate into going to work clothes.
So. I totally agree with that. I had an Outback button-up, I had some really super tight pink corduroys. That was it.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. So starting with that component, it is important to know your audience. So do some research. Do a little homework before your interview. Find out, either talking to their HR department or just doing a little profile research on this company, looking online. I mean, the internet wasn't around the way it was. We weren't readily able to use the internet when I graduated college to search for how to, you know, how to nail a job interview and what to wear. So now I think kids today have it so lucky because you can just type into Pinterest and be like, what do I wear in an interview? And it's going to pop up and you're going to get visuals and then you're going to get links to shop and all these things. So it makes it really easy to gain access to it. You just kind of have to know, you know, I say this all the time in when I talk. I'm like, listen, if you're going to be interviewing to work as a personal assistant for Kim Kardashian, your job interview clothes are going to look way different than if you're going to, you know, a job interview at Charles Schwab. Like, you're not going to be wearing the same thing. So you just need to know, stay in your lane. Like, where are you going? You want to be you, and you want to be able to use your own, you know, you want your personality to shine through. You don't want to, you want to dress for the part, but you want to dress you for the part, not this picture of what you think you should be. Because nobody wants to hire, you know, a robot. They want to hire you. Like, if you're getting the job, they're hiring you because they found value in you that they're gonna, you're going to bring to the company. So you want that to shine through in your interview.
Also, before you put your best face forward, you have to start somewhere. You have to start. So you start researching your companies or your businesses that you might want to apply for. And then you submit your resume. So how do you feel about the cover letter?
Okay. So in for PRIMP, I don't necessarily need a cover letter. So what I do, if somebody sends, you know, a message in an inbox and says, hi, I'm interested in this job, I'm like, great. We have an online application that asks, you know, certain questions. And then it's, you know, you have an opportunity to attach your resume. So I always like to read the online fill out portions first. And then I will look at the resume second. So I like to know, like, how in-depth are people going to take these questions and how much of a personality am I getting out of just these, you know, these questions that we ask. And then I like to follow it up with the resume. And sometimes I'm like, this person is awesome on paper and this is so great. And then I get to the resume and I'm like, oh, well, they're just really good at talking. They're, you know, they're really good at just writing things down. Like, there's really not a lot of substance on it. Because for me, when I look at a resume, I want to see a lot of experience, or I want to see what you've done in your field. And I want to see, what have you done outside of what's been asked of you? So have you been taking, you know, master classes? Have you interned for, you know, any salons or, you know, any stylist? And I mean, outside of just going to cosmetology school, did you have a four-year degree? Or did you, you know, were you active in sports growing up? Because I do love, if you've played sports, that is always something that I really appreciate on a in an interview. Because I love...
Well, it shouldn't go under experience, though.
It's not under experience, but maybe like an activity. At any stage. So whether you're, you know, you're 45 and you used to play competitive softball or like whatever it is that you played, I want to know that because I want to know that you have a team mentality.
Right.
Because when you're part of a team, you know what it means to show up and put your best foot forward for everybody's benefit, not just your own, but for the better of the group. And I love seeing that. I also like really seeing if people were in a sorority because it's kind of the same, not the same thing as a sport, but the same thing of
or you have club.
Yeah, or a club where you just have a team mentality of, again, I'm doing my best for everybody's sake. So I love those things when I see those.
You can belong to a lot of clubs even, you know, into your 30s. Yeah. If you're applying for a new job, like if you're part of any kind of charity work or something like that, that's amazing to put on.
Absolutely.
I think that goes a long, long way.
Yeah. Even networking groups. I think networking groups are really, you know, that's it's smart to, you know, let people know what you've been involved with that. You know, volunteering is obviously a great thing, but it's not always so much where you're spending your time. It's how you spend your time. So, I mean, again, like if you're volunteering with animals, great. You're compassionate. You've got empathy for living beings. Like that's, you know, you can translate these things into many, many layers. It's not just what you see on paper.
That's a great point. Yeah. Thanks. So maybe going a little in depth. I do know that the cover letter does speak to, I don't interview for a lot of jobs and I don't interview people, but from what my husband has said in the last, you know, few years when he's interviewing, he loves a good cover letter. He's like, he pays more attention to that because it gives them a good idea. Because you can just basically have your resume built and ready and just kind of add to it and tweak it as the years go by. But a cover letter, you have to kind of speak in that moment to that job. So it kind of speaks of where they are at that moment, and he really enjoys that. So maybe spend a little bit of time. Tons of different ideas out there about how to do it. We live in a time where we should take advantage of every single tool out there. If you're not utilizing all these tools, you're not doing
it right. You have every resource at the tip of your fingers when you have access to the internet.
Yes.
Like there is no excuse.
Stop watching Bird Box and go write a good resume.
And a cover letter. Excuse me. There's a if anybody needs help writing a resume, there's a really cool app. It's called Canva. We use it a lot for like our graphic things, but there is a template on there that is a really, it's a nice updated version of how to put a resume together. And it's already done for you. I'm like, this. You just have to obviously fill in all the good stuff that's going to highlight you in the best possible ways.
Right.
But the template is great.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I know.
There you go, guys.
And Canva.
Canva is a really legit, it's mm-hmm. app and a website that you can you can utilize.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
It takes a little bit of maneuvering.
It does. You get used to it. Mm-hmm. But once you're in there, you're like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you, like, again, like, we don't have a budget to have a graphic artist at all. So I do 99.9% of all
graphics.
You do
a great job.
But Canva is free. Now, you can pay to be part of, you know, like, having some special tools, which we have, and then we found that to be very beneficial, but they keep adding things to this platform.
I think because it's blowing up.
And I love it. I love it. And I love that it's something that everybody can access, and you can still find your own identity, like, within that app. Sorry. Didn't mean to get down the Canva hole. They're not a sponsor yet. Maybe you want to one
Canva,
day.
You want to reach out? All of our listeners want to hear about you. Well, even other business owners have spoken about Canva to me, how they use it a lot. So if you're a current business owner or something like that, you might want to look into that. Okay, moving on. Yeah. Okay, so now you've nailed your resume, you've got the cover letter, you've got your interview. Now it is the make it or break it time. Let's talk about what to wear.
Ooh, this is my favorite.
This is where she goes all in deep.
This is my favorite. Yeah, so you want to keep, again, you want to research your company to know how casual and how professional is this company. So, you know, if you're walking in and you're in a three-piece suit, but everybody around you is in like jeans and a polo, then you're looking at the culture and you're like, wait a minute, do I fit here? Or did I just assume that this is how they wanted me to dress? I'd rather be in, you know, something more casual, but you need to do your homework to find out how they want you to approach an interview. And if you feel what you're like, listen, I'm old school, I will always come in a suit to an interview, great, let that be known. I mean, that's you putting your stamp on your first impression.
So you're saying, I noticed that it is a more relaxed atmosphere, I'm totally down with that, but you know, but like for interview style, I just want to put my best foot forward, and I chose to wear a
three-piece suit. I don't think you even have to acknowledge it. I think as somebody who would be like the interviewer, if they wanted to acknowledge that, they would make, you know, a comment about it. But I don't think most people, unless you're underdressed, they're not going to be like, she was so overdressed for this interview.
So you did do the research and you did notice it was like jeans and a polo. I would still, I think it'd take it one notch up.
Like, a notch. Yeah. I would never, unless it was a very informal, like, hey, can we meet for coffee prior to,
so what are you wearing to that?
If I'm wearing that, like, me personally, I mean, I'm probably going to wear, like, either a really nice dressy pair of denim and a nice blazer with, you know, a collared shirt underneath, or, you know, something that is more business casual, to meet for coffee for the first time. And then if I'm, you know, brought back in for an interview, then I'm going into more, like, I would wear a suit. Like, I would wear, you know, I've got several.
She does.
Probably wouldn't wear my pink one, but.
Let's talk about color. This is key. Color is key.
Color is something that if you're comfortable wearing color, you want to put color in there. Now, again, like, I wouldn't recommend, maybe if you have an interview at Barbie Corporate, you could do your full piece pink suit. I don't know. But I probably wouldn't go overboard in looking super bright or super statement-y in my color choices. I mean, add color, yes, but find a, you know, if you're going to wear like a navy blazer, maybe you could do like, you know, if you wanted to wear a pink shirt underneath, then great. But then I would do more of like a neutral color pant at the bottom. I never think denim is the right option for an interview. Like if you're going into as like a formal interview, I never think denim is the right choice. I always think
so instead of so
there.
Just maybe if you're a guy, just wearing a dress shirt and nice slacks, don't go denim if you're willing to step it up a notch from the more relaxed office environment.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say like let them like once you get the job, let them invite you to wear your jeans and your denim.
Right.
That is great. But you walking forward as your first impression, I don't think denim makes the right statement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not casual Friday.
It's not casual Friday. And again, I do a lot of these talks that I do with people who are just coming out of school. So a great resource for them, but is also a great resource if you are like maybe getting back into the workforce, you know, after being gone for a while, rent the runway. So if you don't have the budget to make over your entire wardrobe, which can be very expensive. I mean, these nice clothes that you want to make investment pieces, yes, you want to spend the money to, you know, make it last. But if you're looking for something that's going to help you immediately, rent the runway is a great option. You can rent suits from them. You can rent work attire from them. You can even rent denim.
Whoa.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
I was like, for real? I try that out.
Okay.
So there's definitely options that if you are looking to make a more budget-conscious decision, that is a great resource mm-hmm. to have in your back pocket.
Yeah. If you have some interviews set up, yeah, that's a great idea. And the price point's probably like, what, maybe like 50 to 100?
Well, okay, so they have this really cool thing now where you can spend like, I think like $140 a month, and it's unlimited rents and returns for a year. So like 140 a month. But like when you think about it, how much do you spend on clothing a month? Are you spending over $140 a month on clothes? Probably. But these are clothes that you get to pay. Like, you can have a new wardrobe every 3 days if you wanted to for $140 a month. Yeah. So.
Wow.
It's worth it. I mean, it's definitely.
I think that would be the one time that I would sign up for that, because just based on having to put things together, mm-hmm. you might have multiple interviews.
Yeah.
Different places. You might be traveling.
You might, yeah. And yeah. maybe, and it's, again, I think it's a great, like, maybe you've landed your job and maybe you're like, okay, great. Well, I'm not ready to invest all this money yet in new things. Let me try out a couple things. And it's a great way to start. Like, am I a blazer person? We'll try out a couple. If you're like, nope, these aren't for me. Great. You don't have to be a blazer person.
Yeah.
Maybe pencil skirts are the way you want
to
go.
And do you feel like when you order something, it takes forever for you to return it? Oh my gosh. So I totally get to rent the runway. Those boxes or / bags stay in my car forever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pro that.
I do love that. So I think when it comes to keeping it professional, yes, you want to make sure that you're putting your own spin, your own style out there. But I also think you want to put your most professional foot forward. So, you know, we talk a lot about like your makeup and how you want to do your hair. There's a difference between like day makeup and night makeup. Like, you want to make sure it looks polished and it looks clean, but it's also inviting. You don't want to look like, I mean, if you're trying out a smoky eye for the first time, your first interview, probably not the best place for it. Like, probably not. Again, maybe if you're interviewing for Kim Kardashian's assistant, maybe she wants a smoky eye. I don't know. I'm not sure. But you want to know your audience, but I would be willing to bet that the smoky eye isn't the right place for, you know, the interview isn't the right place for a smoky eye. So mm-hmm. keeping your night look
At night. Yeah, so they want your party to be
makeup.
Natural.
Yeah, you should be, you know, natural. And if you never wear makeup, you know, maybe go, Primp offers makeup applications. You can get, in fact, we've done several people that have come in for big interviews and they're like, I'm just super nervous. I just, you know, can you do my hair? Can you do my makeup? I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, I get that.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make it look like yourself, but you also want to just be enhanced. You know, you don't want to go overboard.
So what are some good ways that mm-hmm. you can, you know, maybe show your more personal side, or maybe something that makes you kind of stand out a little bit?
Yeah.
Not with clothing, but maybe with makeup or personal pieces or anything like that?
I think definitely jewelry is a great way to do that. I think you want to keep it, again, like I always think if you want to make a statement, just make one. You don't have to, if you're going to do a statement earring, great. Then you want to go really, you know, soft and subtle with like a delicate necklace. And then maybe if you want to do like a small, delicate bracelet, great. Nothing that makes noise. It's very distracting if you're in an interview and you're wearing bangles and they're just jangling the whole time. Mm. Like, you don't want to have anything that's going to take away from you. And you don't want your jewelry to do that either. So you want to just pick one piece. So if you did want to do a statement necklace, then just make sure everything else in your, you know, even in your clothes is very, you know, neutral. Nothing is going to compete and overpower, you know, the one statement that you want to make. Mm-hmm. So pick one statement and let that ride.
What if you're a guy?
If you're a guy and you want to wear a statement necklace, I say go for it.
We're well, in
a
no, very, how do you stand out? Like, well, you know, because guys want to, and I did have this idea before we went on the air. I was like, what if you're a guy, like, you know, you got to stand out. Like, you want to make your own little pizzazzy mark, you know, is it with a tie? Do you, like, it do a pocket be. Square?
Maybe it's a pocket square.
I said a snazzy sock and she laughed at me. I was like, what about a snazzy sock? She's like, I can't believe you just said snazzy. I was like, I'm bringing it back.
I laugh because I feel like the last time I heard snazzy was, like, from people who were over the age of 65. So when she's like, what about a snazzy sock? I'm like, snazzy.
Listen. Listen, I eat early bird specials. I love baked potatoes. And I like butterscotch. Get the fuck over it.
She is 36?
5.
35? Not
36. Oh, it's
63. Yeah. She's not 63. She's 36. I love it. No, it's great. No, I think you definitely could make, I would keep it again. I would keep it. It would be a classy sock, not like a bright pink snowman, you know, like chilling on your ankle sock and being like, I don't know, Bob. What do you think?
Yeah. You don't want emoji socks.
You don't want maybe that emoji sock, you know. But if there are, like, I mean, I know socks are like a big deal for in the men's fashion realm.
Yeah.
It's a big market. So I do think that you can make a statement with them.
I think if a company has, like, a company color, maybe you wear maybe that company color sock within, like, a more subdued kind of way. I think that would be fun. When Landon travels, he does Ameritrade socks. They don't have the words Ameritrade, but they have they're the Ameritrade green. I was like, oh. And they're kind of like Folio green, too, I guess. But anyways.
Interesting.
But they're, like, a bunch of – it's kind of like a – I don't know what you what's it called? Starts with an A.
A sock?
No. Okay. Never mind. Anyways, but snazzy and sock coming at ya.
Okay. Snazzy socks. There you go.
Okay. So you're in the interview. Mm-hmm. So, and I actually Googled this because there's words that, you know, are overused. Mm-hmm. And probably the interviewer is probably like, oh my God. If I hear this word one more time.
Right.
So I have a list.
Oh, please share
your list. Wait, do you have any on your list that you don't like to hear? I wonder if they're on.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think if... I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt, too. Like, when they're coming in for an interview, they're nervous. You know, I like to see confidence, but I also understand it can be intimidating, especially in this day and age where people aren't used to face-to-face, you know, interaction as much as they are, like, face to phone. Mm-hmm. So, when you give me I try not to ask yes or no questions. Like, I want to give open ended so they have a chance to actually, you know, explain themselves. Or I'm like, why do you think you'll be a great fit at Primp? And they're like, because I really like to do hair. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's great.
Well.
Now, okay. Why do you like to do hair?
How do you feel when you do hair?
like bring
peel
it
away
out,
the layers.
Yeah. So sometimes it is trying to, like, crack a nut, and you're like, all right, okay. But it's usually the ones that come in that, like, when you tell me about yourself, and you just open up the door, and they're like, I can't wait to tell you all the things. I'm like, yeah, tell me more. I can't wait to hear it. But some people are like, well, I don't know. I just...
So have have responses on. Okay.
Okay.
So I looked this up on themuse.com, and I thought that some of these were pretty funny because I would never really say these, like, in a normal conversation. But okay, so some of the worst terms to use during an interview. Best of breed.
Best of breed?
That's what it said.
I don't know. We're in Kentucky. Maybe you're in
Maybe.
Australia. I don't
Maybe.
Know.
go-getter.
Okay.
Think outside the box. Okay. Synergy, which I agree that is kind of like the most overused word right now. I'm the go-to person. Results-driven. Team player, which I don't feel like team player is that bad, but okay. Hard worker. Yeah, I mean, that use that in third grade. Like, come on. Let's think outside the box there. Strategic thinker. And detail-oriented. I think detail-oriented is probably very overused, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the best ones to use.
Okay.
Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. Achieved, improved, trained/mentored, managed, created, influenced, increased or decreased, negotiated, launched, and under budget. So did you see the differences?
You're a hard worker. How are you? Take me through, like, this new list of words that's out there.
I guess hard worker, you are influenced.
Or achieved.
And you have achieved. Or maybe results driven, you were improved. I guess they just want to get to the nitty gritty. Like, don't give me these hyphenated
blanket statements.
Yes. Like, okay. Give me some, how did you decrease this? Yes. Boom, boom.
Well, and that's, okay. So one of the things I like to ask is, how do you handle pressure?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, do you get flustered easily? Do people intimidate you? What makes you uncomfortable? You know, because there are times where, you know, you're going to be in a situation where there's, you know, it's a quick pace. It's a busy Saturday. You got to get people in and out, but you got to make sure they like what they want. And then you get somebody that comes in and they're not happy. How are you handling that? How do you defuse the bomb?
How do you handle the adversity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, adversity is one thing, but like, I think pressure is something, you know, that can be different. But that's definitely, I want to know. I mean, because I don't want to put you in a situation where, for the first time, you're flying solo, and you're like, no, I crack under pressure. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, Saturday may not be the best day for you to...
Like, I'm really good at this, but in stressful situations...
Wait, then we're gonna build you up. I know where to put you. I know, you know, training-wise, like, where we're going to have to spend more time to, you know, maybe take a weakness into a strength. You know, we can totally do that.
You can mentor or train.
Mm-hmm. We will mentor you into that.
So you can be improved and achieved.
So you can perform and achieve at a high level. This is great.
We can decrease your stress. I just used seven. No, this is great. This is great. Okay. So you're on the interview. You've avoided the words, which are kind of funny in my bag.
That is kind of funny.
I'm sorry. We did not address this.
Oh.
Arrive early. How early?
Oh, for sure. I mean, honestly, 15 minutes, I feel like that is a good thing. I mean, and that means you are parked, you are where you need to be 15 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
If you are 5 minutes early, you are on time. If you are on time, you are 5 minutes late. If you are 5 minutes late, you don't get the job. So just
think about
it like that. Like, that is where it is.
It is true.
So that
you should have Google mapped it.
Yeah.
The night before, if not a week before. Like, just to make sure.
Just to make sure you know where you're going. And give yourself plenty of time for traffic, because there's always going to be...
Don't stop and get Starbucks on the way unless you know you have, like, 30 extra minutes.
If you walk into an
interview
and you got a Starbucks cup in your hand and you were late, you better believe I'm making a note about that. Like, oh, your coffee is priority. I get it. Okay. My time's not valuable. I appreciate that.
Keep it moving. Well, and I thought that, too, when I arrive somewhere... I get a little bit of anxiety because I'm an introvert, extrovert kind of person. So I like to look around at my surroundings, know where the bathroom is, just in case I need to use the bathroom. I can greet the person that's usually maybe the front desk or someone, maybe a team member. And that kind of calms my nerves a little bit. So, and you're already kind of making that face-to-face with the people around you. Now, maybe not all job interviews have that, because if you're at the coffee date, but it calms my nerves. So I suggest it just for that matter, too.
Yeah.
Like, man, you're already, like, super prepared. You can kind of, like, repeat your mantra to yourself, like, 8,000 times. And you're like, I got this.
So, I am calm. I am peace.
Yeah, it's more than just looking good. It's about your mental state.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, when you are going into an interview, the last thing you want to do is to be someone you're not. Because you, like, if they give you the job and you put on this show, then you're going to have to be this dog and pony for the rest of this, you know, time at this job. You're like, wait a minute.
Oh, man.
I didn't hire this person. Who's the girl at the interview? I liked her better.
Need her back.
Right. Need her back. Well, just be yourself. You're going to be miserable in your job if you faked it just to get to a spot where you're like, I'm not the right fit. This isn't me.
Stop. Just stop it. Be yourself. Okay. So this is something that I think you have to train yourself in. This is very hard, but how to gain a personal rapport quickly. And this takes a little bit of social working. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Because the interviewer, you've got to be able to relate, and you've got to be able to relate quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This takes some years, I think.
Yeah, well, and some people are great at small talk. Some people are great at working a room. They're very comfortable, you know, talking to people they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that ease of conversation can come out in an interview, and that's, you know, it's very charismatic and people like that and, you know, whatnot. But if that's not you, don't force that fit.
Okay.
I would say if you are someone who has a hard time making small talk or coming across as overly charming, I don't know, again, you don't want to be someone you're not, but you do want to make an effort. Mm-hmm. So,
making eye contact.
Yes, making eye contact, trying not to fidget, making sure that your phone is not visible. So,
ooh, that's a key point. Forgot about that one.
So, I have had somebody who has interviewed with me who is very open and honest, and she's like, listen, I have a sick kid at home. I don't normally keep my phone out, but do you mind if I have it on the table if my sitter needs me? I'm like, no, thank you for letting me know. I absolutely go right ahead. I've got two kids. I totally understand. And there was a great opening for us to start talking a little bit about, oh, okay, so tell me about your kids. How many do you have? You know, so that broke the ice very quickly, mm-hmm. but it was also very respectful that she was just like, hey, heads up, I've got sick kids. I'm really sorry. I wouldn't normally do this. But mm-hmm. I think having your phone out is just a sign of disrespect of, like, if my time isn't worth your time, then why are you here? Mm-hmm. So put it away. Eye contact is a great one. I always think that I like to take notes. So I always have, like, a pen and a paper out. But I also like when my person I'm interviewing has a pen and paper out, because that means that they're writing things down. They're taking this seriously. I mean, as much as you think you're going to remember about things that they said, you're like, oh, crap, I wish I would have written that down so I could have, things to think about. And then I also think when you're in an interview, think of questions. So when they wrap it, I'm like, do you have any questions for me? I have something. Like, just bring something to the table or, just something that it makes
and
it feel
and that's a good
like
personal rapport. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you start the company, or what's your position, or where did you start? I think that mm-hmm. would go a long way. So if you are the more person who doesn't really yeah. get the social cues or feel comfortable making that small talk, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
Ask a question at the end. Mm-hmm. Just have one ready to fire. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Good one.
Thanks.
It's like you've been doing this for 4 years.
You know, a couple times. I've done it a couple times.
All right. So if you've blown the interview.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, not showing up late, because I feel like that's a number one. Like, just mm-hmm. turn around. They're going to burn your resume at the stage.
Don't turn around if you're 5 minutes late. Just
I'm just kidding. It was a joke. But if you've kind of blown the interview and you're like, I could have done so much better. I didn't put my best foot forward. What's one way that you can kind of maybe win back that second chance?
I think a follow-up email. Just even if it's like, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you talking to me. I didn't realize I was going to be as nervous as I was in this interview. I do have more questions. Or if when you ask me this question, I wish I, or, here's a statement, or here's how I really stand on this. So if there is something that you want to clear up, mm-hmm. send the email. Nice. You don't want to be like, I'm so sorry, like badger somebody or beat a dead horse. But definitely if it will help you sleep better at night for you to know that you said what you need to say the way you want to say it, send the email. I would much rather see that than just be like, I didn't get that job but if you don't care and you're just like, oh, I'm just so glad that's over, that felt awful, then maybe that wasn't the place for you.
Yeah, and that's true. I think just go ahead and take the shot. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you never know. You never know.
I mean, the interviewer could have been having a bad day.
Right.
They could have been late, stuck in traffic, and got there
all frazzled.
And
think about the difference of reading that email.
Yeah.
Man or woman reading that email, it makes you more humanized.
It's acknowledgement.
Yes.
And that's what we all want.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're all not
picture of perfection. Yeah. Exactly. Just put your flaws out there.
But thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last but not least, I know where Shannon stands on this. The thank you note.
Yes.
Tell us about the thank you note.
I love a thank you note after an interview. In fact, I have several employees who sent them, and I hired every single one. They were a great interview to begin with, but I, this is no joke, I have their thank you notes stapled to their acceptance letter because I kept them. I love a thank you note. I think they go a long way in my book. But it's the personal acknowledgement of thank you for taking your time. I really appreciate it. I'm very interested in this position. That to me just shows me that you are interested, and that if I do bring you into my culture and make you part of my, quote unquote glam fam, that you're going to take the extra mile with the people who you come across in this company. And that means the world to me. So you're going to treat your guests with respect because you've already treated me with respect to get to where you are.
And you stapled them.
I stapled them. I love it.
Have you hired anybody that sent you a thank you card?
Have I hired them?
Yes.
I just told you that.
Every person. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I was, Okay. So I was looking at my questions too. So I think we've covered it all.
Yeah.
From the cover letter down to the thank you note.
Mm-hmm. top to bottom.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
You know, I think this is something that I always did before interviews. I always had a hype song, like, you know, like pumps you up and you're like, yeah, that's a
good call. Yeah. And if you're looking for your hype song, we do have a playlist on Spotify.
We do.
The Crazy Zen Spotify playlist.
So just pump up your jam and, you know, just, you want to go in a good mood and you want to go in, like, even if you got a, you know, you spilt coffee on yourself on the way out the door, you brushed your teeth and you really got the toothpaste crumbly just like in your creases. Like,
clean your creases.
Clean your creases.
Check
your eye boogies. I mean, make sure you don't have anything in your food catcher. Like, pick your teeth. Like, you get there 15 minutes early, you got to fill your time. Like, make sure you've got it on
all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
Make sure you don't have toilet paper in your shoe. I mean, it could be memorable. You could laugh about it later, but...
No, really. Check it out.
Just check it out.
That's why I say, arrive early, look for the bathroom.
Right.
Just one last check.
One last check. Swipe it up.
Yeah.
Maybe pop in an Altoid.
Yep.
You know, when you get nervous, your mouth gets dry, and you're like, oh. And then you have, like, dry mouth stink, and you're like, oh, God. It's bad in there.
You can't go in for a handshake and have dragon breath.
Right.
No.
You can't do it. Yeah.
No.
Ooh, I'm glad you said that. Going in for a handshake. Okay, when you give a handshake, it needs to be firm and it needs to be a two pump. Like, I'm a firm, like, handshake, like, I don't
linger.
Don't linger.
And don't be clammy.
Don't be clammy. Like, if you know you got some sweaty palms, you just give a little,
just
like
a
sly slick down the leg and then, hey, nice to meet you. But man or woman, keep your perfume or your scent or your smell good, as they call it in the swan house.
The smell good.
Keep it to a minimum. So, like, a spray and then a walk through. Like, not a direct hit. You never want to go with a direct hit in an interview. You want a spritz and a casual.
Now, if you do a roll-on, the roll-on just on the wrist, light rub, and maybe a behind the ear. And that's it. That's it, people. You don't go over that. And I'm even, like, teetering on the wrist.
I'm a wrister. I'm not an up here because then I smell it way too much if it's too close to my ears. And then I'm like, can everyone smell me? It's so close. So I'm a good wrister.
Okay, one or the other.
Right.
That's where we stand.
One or the other.
All right.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
I know. This was fun.
That's a good call.
Yay.
So I hope the how-to series goes well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be bringing you lots of
how-to. I'm excited about this.
I know, right? This is fun.
How to do all the things and get ready for the new year.
Yes.
I'm excited. Okay, what's our questions today?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, this is a new one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Are you a toilet paper over the roll or under the roll?
You're going to hate me. I don't really care. When I'm in the bathroom, I'm like,
You just need toilet paper?
I just need toilet paper.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever been in a public restroom and they have, like, the toilet paper wheel?
Oh, yeah.
And then you can't find it?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there like a hamster, like, spinning, like, where is it?
I can't stand that.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't stand it. And I rip it all to shreds.
Yes! Like,
it's like a baby shark got up there. I know. And so, I'm so sorry. All those bathrooms, I have trashed. And it's usually in airports.
Yeah, they are the worst.
They are the worst.
Because you're trying to get in and out. And ain't nobody trying to be, you know, tidy in an airport bathroom.
No. No.
The worst.
No, like vagabonds.
Right.
Like, I mean, bunch of gypsies wandering around places.
Although, in the remodeled terminal of Atlanta's airport.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
They have, like, touchscreens now. It's like, how was your satisfaction? I'm like, my kids are like, ooh, it's a 5. Can you get the happy green emoji? And I'm like, it's great. I mean, but those bathrooms.
Well, we need to teach them to be a little bit more skeptical on the 5. Don't get the 5 all the time.
I mean, was it
at 5?
See, I come from a point, like, don't hoard the good things. Like,
was it at 5?
Out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. If it was at 5.
Good.
There's no toilet paper on the floor. If the counters are nice and wiped off. I didn't get, like, the wet belly button ring when you lean up to the sink.
And do you ever find, like, sometimes the ratio of, like, the distance between the counter and, I'm like, whose arms are that long that they
go Gadget.
Like, good Lord.
I guess.
This was a design flaw.
That's Penny Gadget.
Penny Gadget. But she was little.
Yeah, she was little.
Go-Go. I mean, Go-Go. Uncle. What was his name?
His uncle?
It was our uncle. But what was Go-Go Gadget's name?
Oh, man. What was his name?
Our uncle. But, yeah, he had all the cool shit.
Yeah, dog.
I always wanted that, like, helicopter thing that came out of his hat.
It was so cool. You can get out of anything.
But she always got him out of everything. Don't you think, though, too, that she was the one who invented the Apple Watch and the iPad?
Yes.
She had that book. I said that from day one when it came out. I'm like,
it's Penny Gadget.
Apple didn't invent this. This was Penny's.
It's Penny's.
Inspector Gadget. And the watch.
Right. That watch was baller.
Baller. I mean, yeah. She could launch things. She's a brainiac.
I know. He did have the helicopter.
I know, right? I was like...
If y'all don't know what we're talking about, you can't be friends with us.
Right. You need to Google Inspector Gadget. The cartoon, not the reboot of the movie.
Oh, it's tragic.
Yeah. I didn't even see it. I was like, no. Was it Anne Hathaway in that?
It was really bad.
Was it?
Okay. That was a really good one.
Thanks.
Speaking of airports, do you have a favorite airport? Do you have an airport you like to fly into? You're like, oh, I like that airport.
Yeah, actually. Okay, so.
I don't know why I said that.
I have a couple. So I love the Detroit airport. I know it sounds crazy, but it's nice. Like, it's really nice. They have like a really cool like walkway that is like, it's like really trippy when you're walking through it. You're like, where am I? Detroit? It's crazy.
Detroit.
I love it. But I always think that the people at the Detroit airport, like the workers, are so nice. They're so friendly. I'm like, I love Detroit. It's crazy. I love when I'm flying through Baltimore. There's a Phillips crab cake place. And back in the day when I drank beer, I would specifically have enough time, like build in a layover where I could have a crab cake and a beer from Phillips.
There's nothing better than a pre-cocktail before you get on the plane.
Oh my gosh.
Just makes your flight so much better.
It does. And I saw this the other day, but it was like, we need to all take more lessons from the airport because it's acceptable to have a beer and to eat a pizza and be in your sweatpants at 5 a.m.
I saw that too. I was like, oh, I love it. Yes. You know what airport I love? Is the Denver. The Denver. Remember we flew into that one?
Yeah. I just don't like flying into Denver because I'm
only going to airports. I'm not talking about descending or ascending.
That makes like the experience for me.
That will live in infamy.
I'm like, oh my gosh, Denver. It's so bumpy.
So bumpy. Well, then you're not gonna like my second one either. Oh. Chicago, which is like, I mean, they come in hot.
They do.
They're like coming in hot.
The runway is like this big. It's so little.
I mean, yes. Everybody's like, break, we're all...
It's like you need an airbag in that front seat.
Or like a little cushion.
I know. Oh, have you ever flown out of Reagan in D.C.? Okay, because that's a really pretty one to fly into because you're flying over all the monuments and it's really nice. But that runway is like, I mean, you're coming in like real steep. And then when you leave, it's like, like, oh, yeah.
We're here now.
We're here. It's like a really fast.
Was it Detroit to Mars? Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's so awesome. Random question, but yeah.
I know.
Those that travel out there are probably like, oh, that's funny. Yes. Yeah. I've been there.
If you don't travel, put those on your list.
I need to lay over here for a crab cake.
Mm-hmm. And a rough landing. In Atlanta, they do have one of the terminals that we fly into or fly out of often. Has a Phillips. So if it's just me and Dan, I'm like, you want a grab me?
Hey.
How you feel about that?
I mean, I know Orlando's airport, like, frontwards and back. I mean, like, I know exactly where the little train is and, or whatever it's called, the subway thing. I don't know.
I think is it a tram?
Tram? That's probably a tram. Yeah. You're right. And then Vegas, that one. We always find the same terminal. So it's like,
you guys are Southwest, right?
Yeah.
In Vegas, yeah.
We always Southwest it. So, that one. And so it's, kind of random, but there you go.
I know. I love it.
All right, guys. Okay. We'll see you next week. Yay!